I'm from the UK. I lived here for 25 years. And I went to Hungary. And first came here to Cardiff in 1980 or 81. 81. What was the friend's house? Was
80s, 80s before.
And since then, things have really developed here in the Welsh ashram. Trying to find a footing, a real foothold here in Cardiff. Have a nice foothold in Swansea. And of course, you're all here because this is part of the Kirtan evening. And you're going to be okay over there? It's all right, as long as I can see him. And of course, our Krishna Consciousness Movement is also known as the Sankirtan Movement. Kirtan means to chant the Lord's name. Actually, one can chant other mantras. That doesn't really come into the category of kirtan. That's sort of something else. And when many people come together, Bahu Milita Yatra Kirtana Matra Sankirtanam, when many people come together to chant Hare Krishna, that's called Sankirtan. And the word Sankirtan also means that it's perfect kirtan, because it's complete. Kirtan is meant to be done not just by individuals, but it's meant to be done in a group. And of course, kirtan also has different forms. This is just one. And another is when we go out on the street. That's considered to be the best form of kirtan, because it benefits not only us. It's not too loud. But it also benefits everyone else. Passers-by, the trees, the birds, everyone gets to hear. And then when devotees also chant, when we chant japa, we chant on our beats, that's also called kirtan. When it's done nicely, aloud, that's also kirtan. So the whole idea of kirtan is to glorify the person whose names we're chanting. And of course, we're chanting Krishna's names. Motive, or the purpose behind chanting, really determines the result one gets from chanting. And there can be many, many purposes. People do many things for many different reasons. A thief uses a knife for one purpose. A surgeon, he uses a sort of a knife, a scalpel, he uses it for a different purpose. So according to the purpose, one person is causing harm, one person is causing benefit. Similarly, when we chant, there's no real harm to be achieved by chanting Hare Krishna, but it's not all one. So the mood and the purpose for which one chants actually will determine what type of result one attains from the chanting. If one, for instance, chants as a form of entertainment. It's melodic, it's nice, it's soothing, gives me peace of mind. That's called chanting in the mode of passion. It has that type of effect. But the effect in itself remains limited. The benefit is limited. Then there are people who chant Hare Krishna, or they do kirtan for the purpose of self-purification. They realize, yes, this is actually the Yuga Dharma, or it's the religious principle for this age, and it's the best religion. Therefore, when I do this, I become spiritually advanced. And that's a very good type of chanting. It's not the best, but it's good. It's called chanting in the mode of goodness. Because although it's certainly for a noble purpose, for self-development, it's still somewhat selfish. Then there are people who chant for absolutely no reason whatsoever. That's called chanting in the mode of ignorance. And all of these have benefit. The general benefit is chaito darpana marjanam. It purifies the heart. But the method of purification, the time of purification, will vary. And they're all, in one sense, a material approach to a spiritual thing. But the... Oh, that's not... It's mice, or not?
Mice with glasses and
But the spiritual approach is that I don't have to worry about entertaining myself. I don't have to worry about purifying myself. All of those things naturally come when I chant just to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He's the most beautiful, because He's the most wonderful, because He's the most powerful, He's the wealthiest. And, well, when you love somebody, then you call their name. Romeo, Romeo, so similarly, when one loves Krishna, then you call after Krishna. Or if one doesn't even love a person, but really recognizes their greatness. And the other benefits are all included in that. Spiritual advancement, the pleasure that one derives from chanting. So motive is a very, very important reason. Of course, focusing on that motive is a real art, because we tend to drift. So how to focus? The best way to focus is by focusing actually on the sound vibration. Because, you know, you have self-correcting things now, these things that just correct themselves. Similarly, the mantra is such that if you pay attention to it, if you pay attention to the words, it will actually align your motive as well. But you have to be attentive. When you're not attentive, then the mind comes into play, and then all of the different motives of the mind happen. So, of course, that's another type of motive. Yes, I want to learn how to control my mind. And that's a good thing, because an unruly mind is not good for meditation, for yoga, for spiritual advancement. One part of controlling the mind is, one part of spiritual life is to control the mind. But you automatically control your mind if you fix it. Generally everyone accepts that fact. Meditation means you focus your mind on one thing. So focus it on the words of the mantra, and of course there's just these three words. Everyone knows the mantra, I guess. There it is. It's split up. Here's one part, there's the other part. And by meditating on that mantra, then words of the mantra, then that becomes the perfection of meditation. And then from there comes different phases or stages of natural evolution that take place. Absorption, remembrance, samadhi, it's a very popular word, and so on, vastu siddhi, and actually attaining perfection. This one activity does everything. And so that's why we find that in scripture, in Shastra, it's stated that nasti eva, nasti eva, nasti eva. Nasti means there's no other path. There's no other way of actually attaining perfection in this age, because nothing has the sufficient potency to counteract all the contamination, all the distractions that we're faced with. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is very powerful. That's why it's called Maha Mantra. There's no other mantra that's called Maha Mantra in scripture. It's the only mantra that's called Maha Mantra. And it has the power to achieve everything, but one has to learn the science or the technique. There's a very real technique to chanting it. In itself is a process of chanting, and books are written about just how to chant Hare Krishna. So in itself the mantra is simple. The technique for chanting, which embraces within it all of the different aspects of yoga, meditation, and spiritual development, that is quite elaborate. And of course, this is sort of an introduction. And when we have devotees regularly do their japa, then that's when we actually work and cultivate. Cultivate that chanting. It's called anushilana. Anyway, we'll chant a little, and of course, when things are done with instruments and in a musical way, then that helps control the mind a little better. Although actually, none of these things are necessary. The only thing that's necessary is the mantra, in an absolute sense. But before we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then our tradition is that first we offer our respects to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who's the founder of the Krishna Consciousness Movement and who brought the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to the world, made it known to the world. Otherwise, it was just, I can't even say it was just in India, because in most parts of India, never heard of it either. But it's just in certain isolated places. And then to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's over here, who is incarnation of Krishna. Oh yes, all of these pictures are of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who 500 years ago, or thereabouts, he introduced this as the Yuga Dharma, or the religious principle of this age. And then we'll chant Hare Krishna. And I'll just turn this off in the meantime.